Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bandeki Brahmhoi E Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the forest, he would mistake it to be Vrindavan. Shaila Deki Gyan Hoi E Govardhan. And when he saw a hill, he would take it to be Govardhan. So thank you for the devotees for bringing us here to Vrindavan and Govardhan. And what's this? A bit big for Radha Kund, maybe Manasi Ganga. Thank you for the devotees for organizing the whole festival, which is going off very wonderfully. Everyone agree? If anyone has any complaints, we'll throw you in the Manasi Ganga. If anyone has any complaints, we'll throw you in the Manasi Ganga, and you can get purified. Yeah, thank you for the Kazansky Predane for a wonderful cooperative effort. Sorry for my Russian, it's a poor effort. Thank you all for coming, because there's no festival without devotees. Of course, they have other kinds of festivals, like rock music festivals, but it's a different kind of atmosphere. You may be wondering why the sitting arrangement was changed. Did you notice that? The sitting arrangement was like this, with this. Myself was supposed to be seated there, now it's changed to be like this. There's a story I believe it's in Chandogya Upanishad, one of the Upanishads. It's one king had one particular kind of knowledge, Agneya Vidya, if I remember correctly. So a group of Brahmins, they wanted to learn that, so they went to his palace. They arrived in the evening. And the king, when he saw that Brahmins had arrived, seated them respectfully above him and asked them what they wanted. Because when Brahmins come to a king, it's usually understood that they want something from him. So he said, well, I can give you land, cows, grains, but I can't tell you this. So please, I'll give you quarters, so you go there, we'll feed you, give you nice food and all these things, and you rest overnight, but I can't give you this knowledge. So the Brahmins went to their quarters, and after eating, they discussed among themselves that the king, he received us very respectfully, but why did he refuse to give us this knowledge? And they came to the conclusion that because we were sitting above him, that he wouldn't teach us, because knowledge, like water, flows down. So the next day they came and they sat below him and they asked him for the knowledge, and he taught them. And then when he wasn't teaching them, he would sit below them, and then when he was teaching them, he would sit above them. Mm-hmm. In the modern age, people don't understand these subtleties of knowledge transmission. In fact, they don't understand the subtleties of anything. But knowledge cannot be properly transmitted unless one sits below the transmitter. From the perspective of etiquette also, one should not sit above the speaker of Vedic knowledge. In the modern educational institutions, they arrange the auditorium so that the speaker... They arrange the auditorium so that the speaker is below. The auditorium goes up like an arena. So the hearers are above the speaker. Don't sit too close to the edge, otherwise you might fall down to the Manasi Ganga. And usually in the modern educational institutions, the students sit while the speaker stands, which is completely against the etiquette. So they cannot... By this way, one cannot actually attain any benefit from any knowledge. Whatever one knowledge one acquires, if that does not result in purification of consciousness, it's of no actual benefit whatsoever. There are so many rules for learning, which anyway. All right. There was a question yesterday. Before we got into the Bhagavatam, there was one question about Grihastha's time of rising, which I didn't directly answer. the point is that human life is meant for God realization. And that God realization awakens under certain conditions. We say that bhakti is unconditional. That means that there are no material conditions. There is a scientific, just like I was saying about this knowledge flows down. So there are so many points to be considered if we're going to advance towards God realization. Now one may say, well, I'm a grihastha, therefore I rise late in the morning. But it's not that because you're a grihastha that by rising late in the morning you'll get the same result as one who rises early in the morning. It's not that by chanting carefully and seriously, or it's not that by chanting sloppily one will get the same result as by chanting carefully and seriously. One may say, I'm a grihastha, therefore I don't follow very strictly. That may be, but then you won't get the same result as those who do follow strictly. So it's understood that in grihastha life there are, it's not the same ideal conditions for spiritual advancement as in renounced life. There are various social conditions which are not generally in householder life. The social conditions and the living conditions are not as favorable for spiritual life as in renounced life, ashram life. If you think, well, then it doesn't matter. You know, I can get up any time I like because I'm a grihastha. Then with that kind of attitude, one cannot make any spiritual advancement at all. So we'll continue with the verse which we were reading yesterday from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 11, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abadhavatyapi namanyanantasya yashonkitani yachtrinvanti gayanti gunanti sadhavaha. And you can read the translation again. And we finished, we reached as far in the purport as saying that there is propaganda by a section of people to stop glorification of the name and fame of the Supreme Lord.
Which paragraph?
Yeah, so in the first paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a long paragraph.
It's marked by...
Yeah, italics. It's italicized, yeah. You have italics in Cyrillic. Therefore, there is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. So I was saying this purport is practically Prabhupada's mission statement. And this within this purport, this particular line is the essence of Prabhupada's mission statement. There is a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. So if we want to disseminate the message of Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world, what should we do? Well, a good idea is to first of all disseminate Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world. In other words, to distribute these books all over the world. Of course, not everyone can go all over the world. It's difficult for anyone, even Jayapataka Maharaj, to go all over the world. I mean, he's been to probably almost every country in the world, but it's quite a big world. I mean, this world, this planet is like a mustard seed in the universe, but from our perspective within this mustard seed, it's pretty big. If you had with your present team of Sankirtan Brahmacharis, if you made a program to visit every house in Tatarstan, that would take you a long time, wouldn't it? That's what they do in Slovenia, door-to-door book distribution. The total population is 2 million. They go around again and again and again. And many doors or many houses are on the top of a hill. You go all the way to the top of a hill, and there's one house. And you hope someone's at home, apart from the dog. If there is someone at home, they usually take a book, because if someone takes an effort to go all the way up to the top of the hill, they appreciate they must be quite serious about what they're doing. But Srila Prabhupada, he wrote this. He was sitting in Radha Damoda temple in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And he, in his vision, was seeing Bhagavan Pandit Das going out in the streets of Kazan distributing these books in Russian and Tatarsky. He had the vision, or Chaitanya, or any one of you, that he had the vision that these books will be translated and distributed all over the world. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam. We pray to that when will Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this world the heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when will he, literally says, give me the end of his lotus feet. That's literally what it says, or the end of his feet. When will he bestow the mercy of his lotus feet upon me? Rupa Goswami Prabhupada is an eternal resident of Seva Kunja, in which the Sri Radha Damodar temple is situated. Srila Prabhupada is also an eternal resident of Seva Kunja, a Radha Damodar temple. Rupa Goswami established within this world Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, which is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And while Prabhupada was at Radha Damodar temple, Rupa Goswami, well, not only at that time, but particularly at that time, it was known that Rupa Goswami would speak to Prabhupada and tell him what to do. Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada wrote many books. There is a huge volume, a huge library of books in the writings in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and in other Vaishnava Sampradayas. So all the different acharyas wrote books, books and poems, songs for the need of the present, of the situation in which they were preaching. Out of their own personal ecstasy of glorification of Krishna. And of course the six Goswamis, the books they wrote are the seminal books of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Apart from the six Goswamis' books, of course the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is also, that's practically the essence of all the writings of all the Goswamis. And the basis of all these, of all their writings, is Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada, as a servant of the previous acharyas and as an acharya himself, composed this Srimad Bhagavatam commentary in English to be translated in all the languages of the world. He captured the essence of all the previous acharyas' writings and presented it in a manner just suitable for people of the modern age. And he wrote here, there's a great need for disseminating the message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world. So Srila Prabhupada, he first of all sat in Vrindavan and translated these books. And he had the vision of writing these books and taking this message to the world, beyond the Vrindavan that is visible at the present time as conceived of as a town within the state of Uttar Pradesh in India. So this is the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to disseminate this message throughout the world. In which, like I say, it's a big world and not everyone can go everywhere, but Krishna has sent all of you in various places. So those who are in Kazan, they can disseminate the message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout Kazan. Wherever you are placed by the will of the Lord, try to spread this message. This is the meaning of being a disciple. Devotees are taking initiation and they mostly think I need to get initiated for my own spiritual benefit. But initiation also brings the responsibility of once having been formally accepted into the family, you have to take up the family business of distributing Srimad Bhagavatam. That is by action and precept. What's the term? Yeah, anyway, you can say like that. by one's own activity, by instruction, by example, and by precept. Yeah, that's the saying. Apni achari prabhu jibere shikai. One should be a Vaishnav, act as a Vaishnav, an ideal person, and preach the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these books, they're all, when we say disseminate the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, it means to distribute all the books of Srila Prabhupada, all the various books. And of course there are various other methods of preaching also, by personally meeting others and speaking to them, by holding public programs, and TV programs. What happened to the TV people? They're supposed to come. They got more interested in the football game or what?
Sure, they didn't come.
Anyway, they're always absorbed in nescient activities. So anyway, there are various methods for spreading this message, but everything should be based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And Guru, for us particularly, means the message of Bhagavatam as received through Srila Prabhupada. And Shastra means Nigamakalpataro Galitam Phalam Shukumakad, this Amrita Drava Sangyatam, this Srimad Bhagavatam, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge received through Shukadeva Goswami.
And this is?
Hmm?
And this is?
Yeah, Srimad, the Shastra, when we say Guru Sadhu Shastra, then Shastra particularly me, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, next sentence in the purport, let's go on to that, although we could speak much more, but Namani Anantasya, this word Ananta comes in the text, so every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam could be elaborated on unlimitedly, but anyway, we'll go on to the next line. Prabhupada writes, it is the duty of every responsible Indian to broadcast the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the world, to do all the supermost good as well as to bring about the desired peace in the world. Because India has failed in her duty by neglecting this responsible work, there is so much quarrel and trouble all over the world. Srila Prabhupada was hopeful that the Indians would take this up. Well, now they are. There are many people born in India taking up Krishna consciousness, but at that time, no, not many. Even prior to Srila Prabhupada's departure from this world, ISKCON, pre-1977, not many Indians were joining, actually. So anyway, it doesn't have to be Indians. You can also do it. In fact, in Russia, it's in many ways more practical that the Russians do it. A few years ago, I met Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj at, I think it was at Domodedovo, one of the, it must have been Domodedovo. He had flown in from somewhere, and I'd flown in from somewhere, and by chance we met. And we were discussing about preaching and activities of ISKCON in Russia. And I said to him that I think this was a few years ago, remember. I said that more and more we have to see that it's Russia for the Russians, that the Russian devotees will have to take up the leadership in the preaching, and they know their own culture and how to do it and everything like that. So you're doing that. So please continue to do that. Here in Tatarstan, you have a special responsibility to get all of Srila Prabhupada's books printed in Tatar language. So, I think there's one perfect questions, perfect answers is there in Tatar. How many people read Tatar?
Present or today? Present or
no? I mean throughout Tatarstan or Tatars here, there, and everywhere. Mostly in Tatar. Yes, 30 or 40%. How many people is that? 1.5 to 2 million. Yeah. Of course, they all read Russian, probably also, but they may prefer to read in Tatar, is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. You have to go there and preach to them. Was saying that, well, Muslims are very peaceful because they eat peaceful animals. I mean, what are you going to discuss with such people? But Srila Prabhupada's presentation appeals, it's not just some dogmatic hitting you over the head, and it's not some foolish attempt at philosophy by someone who's, you know, their brains are no better than the brains of the sheep that they're eating. But it's very high philosophy, which anyone can understand as soon as they read these books. Their foreheads and different color hair and something like that. So they found that actually many of the people had read Prabhupada's books and appreciated them. And we find all over the world so many people in all kinds of different people appreciating these books. I'll just tell one anecdote that many years ago I was distributing books in offices in downtown Kuala Lumpur, which is the capital of Malaysia. So I went in one office, I met one man from Turkey, and who was Muslim by background, as almost all Turkish people are. So I did an illegal activity. I showed him the books, because you're not supposed to preach non-Islamic religions to Islamic people in Malaysia. You're allowed to do to the non-Muslims, but not to the Muslims. Mm. So I said, do you have any book describing God as a person? He said to me, do you have any book describing God as a person? You know, what? I told him, well, all our books describe God as a person. I mean, maybe, you know, what does he look like? This is what he wanted. So he got the right books. So, the Prabhupada said that people are eager for this knowledge. And we'll find that more and more as we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, that the desire for these books among the people in general will increase more and more. The more we preach, the better it gets. So many places we go to, people, we distribute books, they say, I have this one, I have this one, I have this one. Oh, I don't have that, give me that one. So back to the example of the foreigners with the burning house. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam throughout this polluted atmosphere of the world. After all, it is a technical science of spiritual values, and thus we are concerned with the techniques and not with the language. If the techniques of this great literature are understood by the people of the world, there will be success. When there are too many materialistic activities by the people in general all over the world, there is no wonder that a person or nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. So I was saying yesterday how there was a war between El Salvador and Honduras over a football game. And we find in the present time that the philosophy of give a dog a bad name and hang it is going on. Have a similar saying in Russia. So America wanted to attack Iraq, so they invented some chemical weapons that didn't exist there and attacked them on that basis. So later on it was found out that it was a lie. That there were no chemical. They said that they found chemical weapons, but it was just a lie. They just attacked and sent their soldiers to get killed. Because, you know, they had certain political motives, which is the real thing. Of course, I see the press on the other side of the world. In Russia, you get one story, and on outside, from the Western press, you get a completely different perspective. So you don't know what's going on. History means lies, more or less. The news means lies. The newspaper is called Pravda. It's just hypocrisy. It's very interesting, this... George Orwell, the famous English writer, I think you've all heard of, he wrote one book called, a futuristic book called 1984. So in this story, there were three ministries. There was the Ministry of Peace, which waged war, the Ministry of Truth, which gave you all the propaganda, all the lies, and the Ministry of Love, which oppressed all the citizens. So what we're talking about, the wars, there are wars that all the politicians tell different lies and then they go to war. We are fighting this war for the nation, for peace, for truth, for justice, for humanity, etc., 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 etc. Well, the real reason, Srila Prabhupada says here, is because of the polluted atmosphere in the world. When Srila Prabhupada was preaching in America, the war in Vietnam, the American attempt to prop up the anti-communist regime in Vietnam was going on. And many people in America, especially the young people who were likely to get drafted in the army, they were very much against this war. And they said, it doesn't make any sense. You know, why should we go and fight in some country which we never heard of before we went to war with them? It's such a long way away. We don't want their rice, which is all they've got there anyway. Rice and fish. But Prabhupada said, you must, you're forced by the laws of nature. You must go and die because you are killing so many animals. Person or a nation attacks another person or nation on slight provocation. That is the rule of this age of Kali or quarrel. Well, you can take the essence of it. Just forget the book and just translate it yourself. The atmosphere is already polluted with corruption of all description and everyone knows it well. Yeah, everything's so degraded and people just take it as normal. Just like in the present season, you see people walking around almost naked, which 100 years ago would have been considered outrageous. What the older people here can tell us, when they were children, did people walk around with, you know, all their bodies showing like that? No, it was considered uncivilized, and it is. But people accept it as normal. But it's actually, it's a symptom of the degraded consciousness of people. Prabhupada goes on, there are so many unwanted literatures full of materialistic ideas of sense gratification. Toward the beginning, in the earlier part of the 20th century, I'm talking here, sorry if I'm always giving examples from the Western culture, but that's what I know. So there were books written which were considered outrageous because they described sex. But gradually such books came to be accepted, and then the acceptance level of what could be described went lower and lower and lower. So nowadays you can publish anything. And in the name of expression, expressing yourself and art, the pornography is a huge business. In many countries, there are bodies appointed by the state to detect and censor obscene literature. This means that neither the government nor the responsible leaders of the public want such literature, yet it is in the marketplace because the people want it for sense gratification. Yeah, some people who are somewhat responsible understand that these things are not good, but nevertheless it's there because money, 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 ding, 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 ding. It's a big business. So these books promoting sex they're considered normal in the modern age. The people in general want to read, that is a natural instinct, but because their minds are polluted, they want such literatures. Under the circumstances, transcendental literature like Srimad Bhagavatam will not only diminish the activities of the corrupt mind of the people in general, but also it will supply food for their hankering after reading some interesting literature. So, yes, apart from Srimad Bhagavatam, there should be so many books written. We should have libraries of Vaishnav literature. People like to read these tabloid newspapers and read about the TV stars and the football stars and beauty queens. Is that cultural there? I guess it's here in Russia. Mm-hmm. But instead, if we hear and read about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and his devotees, that will give us subject matter to discuss, meditate upon, and that will purify us. So there are so many great devotees. Their lives have been written about in various languages, can all be translated. Now Gadadha Pandit Prabhu has made one book in Russian about the life of Madhvacharya. He'll tell you about that. And then you have to write about all the other acharyas after him. There are so many wonderful stories. It's a whole culture of wonderful devotion in all the various sampradayas. So this will give us something to talk about. Instead of talking about Gospodin Putin and Mr. Bush, we can talk about Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vallabhacharya, what to speak of our Gauriya devotees. Sri Jaya Deva Kaver Idam Uditam Udaram Srinu Sukhadam Shubhadam Bhavasaram Keshava Dhritta Dashavid Harupa Jai Dagadisha. Jai Deva Goswami says that this song which he has made at the beginning of Gita Govinda, Dashavatar Stotram, Sri Jaya Deva Kaver Idam Uditam Udaram, this is bestowing auspiciousness, and hearing it will bring auspiciousness and happiness to people even in this miserable world of birth and death. So let us go on hearing in Srimad Bhagavatam and various literatures about the activities and qualities of the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Srila Prabhupada continues, in the beginning they may not like it, they may not like Srimad Bhagavatam, because one suffering from jaundice is reluctant to take sugar candy. But we should know that sugar candy is the only remedy for jaundice. Similarly, let there be systematic propaganda for popularizing reading of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will act like sugar candy for the jaundice-like condition of sense gratification. So this is an example or an analogy which is taken from which book by Rupa Goswami? Nectar of Instruction, Sri Upadesham. It's given in slightly different context. What is that? You can say the verse? Sri Krishna Nama Charitadi. Yeah, actually it says not only the name, but Charitadi means Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitaptya Vidya Pitam Patapta Rasadasya Narochikanu. Kintu. What is that? Saiva Jushta. Kramad, yeah, gradually, the polluted, the taste will change, the bitterness will change to the natural sweetness. Dvadurad anudinam kalusaiva jushta. When men have a taste for this literature, the other literature, which are catering poison to society, will then automatically cease. So that's Prabhupada's mission, to spread the knowledge of Krishna as given by Vyasadeva and all the acharyas in Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's actually a fact that when one gets a taste for reading Srimad Bhagavatam, then there's no taste in reading anything else, in reading mundane literature. Charity begins at home. So we want to fill every home in Russia and the world with Srila Prabhupada's books. So fill your own home with Srila Prabhupada's books. Even if you don't have a food mixer, and you don't have a washing machine, and you don't have a vacuum cleaner, keep on set of Prabhupada's books. We are sure, therefore, that everyone in human society will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam, although it is now presented with so many faults, for it is recommended by Sri Narada, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. Everyone will welcome. Prabhupada was his vision. Everyone will welcome Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because it is recommended by Sri Narada. Why are we distributing Srimad Bhagavatam? Narada said to do so. He's our guru. We have to do what he said. Narada said it must be correct. He is Narada, which means he who gives Narayana. So what he says must be correct. And he has very kindly appeared in this chapter. Prabhupada is writing this book. It's not just some literature, but he's in communion with Narada, because he's understanding that Narada is actually present in these words. So these books, they're not just like ordinary books. There are so many books. Recently, someone brought me to their bookshop. They owned a bookshop. So generally you think in books there should be some kind of rasa. Srimad Bhagavatam is the rasa shastra par excellence. But even in the mundane books there's some mundane perverted rasa. But this bookshop, there wasn't even any perverted rasa. It was absolutely dry. It was university books, and studying different computer programs and engineering courses, completely dry. But because this, the owner of the shop had become a devotee, he'd kept one section with Prabhupada's books also. And it was like, you know, it was like this. Have you seen that picture of the Krishna Swadhamo Pagate, the picture that goes with that of Vyasadev holding up the books, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the light is coming out in the darkness of Kali Yuga. Have you seen that picture? Yeah, there used to be another picture, which was actually, it was like adopted from a famous film called The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston, with Moses comes down from Mount Sinai holding the Ten Commandments. So anyway, those books, in Prabhupada's books in the middle of all these university books, it was just like, you know, everything else was like black, and Prabhupada's books was like shining with transcendental light. So what is the purport of this ramble that I'm almost finished rambling on? Well, as Srila Prabhupada said, I personally heard him say, we should make Srimad Bhagavatam our life. This is life. Otherwise, we're just zombies. We have these horror movies with zombies. Everyone is Achaitanya Midang Vishvam. Everyone in this world without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dead. Every movie is a horror movie, except movie of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Называется Шримад Бхагаватам.
Read these books, live with Narad and Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami. And what else? Any suggestions, Jagadish Pandit? What else does it mean? Chan Hare Krishna. Well, yes, distribute. See what you can do in this regard. One thing is for sure, Srila Prabhupada is always very pleased at news of his books being distributed. Nothing gave Prabhupada more pleasure than hearing of the books being distributed. Many things gave him pleasure, but he was especially interested in hearing about this. Once Srila Prabhupada was lecturing in Los Angeles, he just arrived there after visiting so many places all over the world. And there were many devotees gathered from all over America. The whole temple was completely packed. So obviously Srila Prabhupada had some sense of achievement that something, you know, he'd come alone, unknown to America, and now there are all these young men and women dedicated to his order, and TV stations come to see him. Something significant was going on. So Srila Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasan lecturing as he usually did with his eyes closed, which is what all the if you ever go to a course on public speaking, they tell you the worst thing you can do is close your eyes, but almost always Prabhupada closed his eyes, and his speaking was the most effective. And Prabhupada said, I have no personal qualification. I simply try to execute the orders of my spiritual master. So by saying that, Prabhupada automatically went in the minds of the devotees who were hearing that, yes, we have to follow the order of our spiritual master. Prabhupada said, I could understand that he was very fond of books. He told me, if you ever get money, print books. So Prabhupada said, you try to distribute these books as much as possible all over the world, and the Krishna conscious movement will automatically increase. So Prabhupada said that I simply tried to follow the order of my spiritual master, and in this way giving the idea that his disciples should also do that. And then he said that you try to distribute these books. Oh, he didn't say you try to, he said distribute these books. So then devotees, they understood, yes, we should distribute books. This will please Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So you'd like to speak about your book that you're about to release? I have to go.
Сказать пару.
Yeah, and about the Udupi program, you can tell about that also. Take the stage. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay, give a mic. All right, you can take this mic. Yeah. Okay. I have to go. Maybe 2 days. Vyasa Puja Festival there, and then we'll be visiting the various places around there. 2 days, 10 and 11. I visited Udupi so many times, I can't count. I spend a lot of time there. It's one. There are many holy places in India which I love to visit, and Udupi is one. One which I visited one of the most. Did you say that you also lived there for several years? You told that? Yeah. How many years were you there in the Udupi area? About 5 years? 7, 8 years. Yeah. All right, what else? Well, here's more inspiration for book distribution, for distributing Prabhupada's books. I don't understand a word of it, but I'm sure it's all very good. So, copies are with Deepta Murthy Prabhu. Yeah, okay, I can sign it also. They're also there? One other point I wanted to make, for grihasthas especially, every home should have a good big picture of Srila Prabhupada. Good idea. Nowadays, by the grace of the internet, you can choose your picture. Or you can have many pictures. But Srila Prabhupada introduced us to Krishna consciousness, but our Krishna consciousness is via Prabhupada. That means with Prabhupada consciousness. There have been many great devotees in the history of the world who have appeared within the history of this world, but specifically Srila Prabhupada saved us, and we always want to remain fully conscious of that. Maybe even that. Do you have regular posters available in the temple? Posters of Prabhupada? No? Maybe you could print it, and it's important for every home. And a set of his books also. Okay, questions?
What's the role of children in family life? How to make children Krishna conscious?
Well, family means children. It's not really a family without children. How to make them Krishna conscious? Well, you can't really make them Krishna conscious. Contrary to what some people say, Krishna consciousness is not some kind of brainwashing or programming. So they have to choose themselves whether they want to take to Krishna consciousness or not. But we can make the life of Krishna conscious ourselves, the parents, if they're Krishna conscious and they're happy in that and they're sincere in that, then there's a very good chance that the children will also want to take that on. So you act as ideal devotees and teach your children about Krishna, and they'll be devotees. It may be at different levels, but they'll be devotees. Everyone's at different levels from previous lives also. So you can't expect that. You can't force anyone to be Krishna conscious, but you can just, like I say, be happy in Krishna consciousness, and it's quite likely that your children will come along also. There's quite a lot of devotees here, children devotees who are, well, children of devotees who are also devotees. And more are at the temple. They didn't come here because they're rehearsing for a spectacle, as you said. So, if you're raised with Krishna, then you can never forget Krishna, even if you try. Yeah.
Please explain why Srila Prabhupada refers to himself as we.
I don't know, because no one asked and Prabhupada never explained it. There are various theories about that, which, if you like, I can say. Apparently in archaic English there is what is called the royal we. When someone is very aristocratic, they refer to themselves as we. Another thing is Prabhupada, when he says we, then he means we. When he says we are presenting Krishna consciousness all over the world, that means that he doesn't consider that I am doing it by myself, but he considers that it's a joint effort of all the previous acharyas and the present devotees. And also in Hindi, which of course Srila Prabhupada spoke completely fluently, and in some other Indian languages, it's polite to, it's just a nuance of the language to say we when referring to oneself. So it may be from that also. That's my own take on that. It's offering respect to the person you're speaking to. I don't think that's in Sanskrit. I don't see that in... Is it? In spoken Sanskrit? I mean, we see in Shastra, we don't see that. I mean, if there's an individual, he refers to himself... No, they'll address him in plural, but what about yourself? You say vayam instead of aham? But in general, we don't see that, do we? In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna often sometimes addresses Krishna in the familiar form and sometimes in the respectful form. It's mixed up, isn't it? No, that's another. That's something else. That's another question altogether. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what does that mean?
Yeah, there's one more question.
It comes in Russian. They translate it like that, also. Oh, I see. It comes in this. In this.
Yeah, we.
We.
Yeah, in Russia also, like tsars, they used to write "we," Nicholas the Second.
Mm-hmm. So the royal king, we.
Royal,
yeah.
Woman.
In this regard, there's an anecdote which you may have heard, but we can repeat it anyway. That Srila Prabhupada was very aristocratic in his bearing, the way he walked and dealt with people was very aristocratic, which means not just lording it over, but very cultured. So observing this, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples once said to him, "Srila Prabhupada, you're just like a king." And Srila Prabhupada, who was the master of the reply, he would always, gave brilliant replies on so many occasions, said, "I'm much more than any king." One other thought just came to my mind, that ahankar, I, the sense of I-ness, it's not very nice if you hear someone saying, I, they're always saying like this. What is that? Ya? Ya, ya, ya. So we, it sounds less ahankarish. What's the word? Egoistic. I. The most important word in the vocabulary is I. It's not, I mean, no one appreciates, if anyone speaks like that, no one likes that. So it's like a way of, saying I without, it's a less egoistic way of saying I. That's another suggestion.
There was a letter published in the conference where you've asked to sign some address against the GBC resolution about amendments in Srila Prabhupada's books.
Yeah.
And there were some points. So what was the result of this? And what are these points under discussion?
Well, I didn't... Yeah. Did you read it in Russian? Well, I didn't actually send this out. One of my disciples did, but he asked me first. This year, at the GBC meetings, the GBC passed a resolution recommending the BBT to put footnotes in Srila Prabhupada's books explaining certain statements, certain controversial statements. And an example of the controversial statement was given that women like a man who is very expert in rape. Like a man who is very expert in rape. That was an example of a controversial statement which should have footnotes to explain it. Yeah. Which is certainly a very controversial statement. Although, if it's not taken out of context and seen within the context of the whole narration that's going on, it's not so difficult to understand. Anyway, this resolution created a lot of controversy because it was said that, well, if anyone wants to explain the statements in Prabhupada's books, they have to do it in separate books, not in his own books. Brother. Because, you know, someone else giving their own opinion about what Prabhupada says, and then, you know, the whole gist of what Prabhupada wants to say can be altered. It's a very dangerous policy. So it became a controversial issue. But anyway, the BBT had a meeting and they refused to do it. They said, sorry, we're not going to do it.
Sure.
Said that Prabhupada told us to print his books. He didn't give us any mandate to put our own comments in the books. So it's a relatively dead issue now because, like I say, the BBT refused to do it. So the GBC are probably going to withdraw that resolution. It would have set a dangerous precedent because, you know, there are so many things in Prabhupada's books, and then if you just want to... Once a precedent is set that we want to explain it so that common people could understand it, then practically the whole of everything Prabhupada wrote goes against everything the modern people believe in. So you'd had to explain away everything. Srila Prabhupada wrote that the moon is further away than the sun, that the so-called astronauts never went to the moon, that women should never be granted independence, and you know there are so many, that Prabhupada was against democracy, said there should be monarchy,
which in the
Western world this is considered the worst possible thing you could say. Srila Prabhupada wrote that the sexual appetite of a man for another man is demoniac, which in the Western world is probably illegal to distribute the books with such a statement, because nowadays you're not supposed to say such things. So the idea that we have to explain all the things which people won't like means that we may have to explain away everything that Prabhupada said, practically. There's definitely to explain all these points which people find difficult to understand. Yes, that should be done, but the point is it shouldn't be done in Prabhupada's books. As regards that statement that a man likes, a woman likes a man who is very expert in rape, if the word is just changed from rape to seduction, then it can be understood more easily. But we don't have the right to do that without Prabhupada's permission. And Prabhupada isn't here, so we can't do that. So we find that that's a normal thing in the commentaries on texts or commentaries on previous commentaries that one commentator will say, in this context, this word means this. Anyway, in Russia, you don't get to know about so many controversies. That's one advantage of not knowing English. So in that way, you can remain more innocent and concentrate on the essence of Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, we shouldn't be naive. Naivete means ignorance, actually. And ignorance cannot produce knowledge, and without knowledge there cannot be proper understanding. Anyway, it's definitely there will be many, we can expect that there will be many theological and other controversies within and around ISKCON. That's to be expected. There have already been several, and there is always some going on. Did the jiva fall from Vaikuntha? Or were we here all the time? Well, that's a controversy which has come up in ISKCON and will probably go on as long as ISKCON exists, because there's statements in Shastra and in Prabhupada's books to support both positions. So I always tell my disciples, don't believe me. Your guru said it, so believe it. Understand. Apply your intelligence. All the Shastra is presented in an intelligent way for people to understand it, with their God-given intelligence. So, well, basically we believe what the guru says, but we should not just believe because he says, but we should understand why he says is correct. Why what he says is correct. That's one reason why Srila Prabhupada, with his disciples, often took the position of a philosophical opponent. Srila Prabhupada always taught that Mayavad is anti-theistic. Not, well, we say atheistic, but atheistic actually means anti-theistic. So, okay, we are followers of Prabhupada. We hate Mayavadis. If you ever see a Mayavadi, punch him in the face. Then Mayavadi asks, well, why did you punch me in the face? Of course, he's more likely to punch you back in the face. But, well, anyway, if you say, well, you're a Mayavadi, I hate you. And they say, well, what do you mean by a Mayavadi? It's one of those people we hate. And you say, well, why? Because Prabhupada said so. Well, that's not any service to Prabhupada. Then it'll make Prabhupada sound like an ignorant fool like you. So we should understand what Mayavad is and why it is despicable. So Srila Prabhupada would often take the position of a Mayavadi and argue as if a Mayavadi against the devotees and defeat them all. And then Prabhupada would say, well, actually, this is the actual position. This is what you should have said, and like this. So don't just believe blindly. That is, this blind faith is not the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hetu madbhiv nischitai. What is that? How does that verse begin? Anyway, Lord Krishna states that the Shastra is presented with all reasoning as to cause and effect. What's that verse? About the Brahma Sutras in Bhagavad Gita. Hetu madbhiv nischitai is the second line. Which means is presented with all reasoning as to cause and effect. As Prabhupada translates that. Mm. I'm going to find it quickly. Rishibhir bahudha gitam chando bhir vividhai pritak. Brahma sutra padaischaiva hetu madbhir vinischitai. So Krishna himself, even though he's the origin of all the Shastra and the object of knowledge in the Shastra, states that what I'm telling you is supported by Shastra. So he says that various rishis have stated these facts in various ways, and these are also in the Vedic scriptures. It's presented in various ways, and also in the Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra. So this is all these points are ascertained, Lord Krishna says, with all, Prabhupada translates this, with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Mm. Then, any other question?
How much should we be attached to our parents?
Well, especially if they're devotees, then certainly we should be attached to them. We should be attached to devotees. Even if they're not devotees, well, they've given you this particular birth in which you've had the opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness. And it's a basic human duty to care for one's parents in the old age, especially.
So
how much it should be attached, I can't say exactly on a scale of 0 to 10, but that gives what I just said gives some idea. I'm taking written questions.
Do you happen to know whether Vedanta Sutra with the commentaries of Baladeva Devotional will be translated into Russian?
I can't say 100% for sure, but I'm pretty sure it will be, because pretty much everything else is being translated into Russian.
Please explain the meaning of the following phrase, Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, and also the meaning of the phrase from Premadvanik, Gopa Gopi Go. Mm-hmm. In your book, Beginner's Guide, It is mentioned not Gopa Gopi Go, but Gopa Gopi Nath.
Mm-hmm. Prem Se is Hindi. Prem Se Kaho is Hindi, which means say with Prem. And the rest is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai. This Prem Dhani or Jai Dhani is a mixture of Sanskrit with maybe some Bengali, and that's Prem Se Kaho is Hindi. Mm. Gopa Gopinath means Krishna, who is the Lord of the Gopas and the Gopis, or it can mean also the Gopas, the cowherd boys, and Gopinath. Yeah, Gopa Gopinath can either mean Krishna, who is the Lord of the cowherd boys and the Gopis, or it can mean the cowherd boys and Gopinath, who is Krishna. Gopa Gopi Go means the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, and the cows. So this is an alternative way of saying it. Okay, so shall we finish there? Yeah, have books. You can have kirtan for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 hours.